This is Dennis Tech of Radio Birdman, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
You can find out about so many local events, like the traditional Irish music session. Every Sunday, there's an open Irish music jam at the Shamrock House in East Durham from 2 to 5 p.m. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org and add your own event to the WGXC community calendar and have it read on the radio at 90.7 FM by going to WGXC.org and clicking on the community calendar.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-eyes into here's-how-you-cans. Visit dedicatedpresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Henry Lowengard of Kingston, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Daily News for Tuesday, March 28th. Go to the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about any of these stories. Liz Montgomery reports for Porcupine Soup that Catskill High students left school early on March 27th because of a broken pipe discovered beneath the building. High school students have been shifted to remote learning for the rest of the week. Superintendent Melissa A. Barrow said, quote, "A broken pipe was discovered under the building that was used by our science classes. The broken pipe is in an isolated area in the high school crawl space," unquote. All after-school sports in Catskill will meet in the middle school gym for the rest of the week, the school said. In December, the Catskill Middle School building was closed for several weeks. Students moved to the high school after an old valve attached to a water main broke. Read more about this story at Porcupine Soup. Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that the Association of Towns and the New York Conference of Mayors issued a joint statement March 27th applauding Governor Kathy Hochul's incentive-heavy approach to adding affordable housing in New York. Quote, "Housing growth targets, transit-oriented development, and state funding all remain with the addition of a strong community-driven and incentive-based program in which municipalities throughout the state will be poised to participate," unquote, the groups said in a statement. The state budget is due April 1st, and there should be a major housing funding in the plan. Quote, "There is no silver bullet solution to the housing crisis," unquote, said Soshi Nameka, the state director of the Working Families Party. Quote, "But there are proposals currently on the table that would protect tenants from exorbitant rent increases, stem the rising tide of evictions, and end outdated zoning laws that have foreclosed on opportunities for generations of Black, brown, and working-class New Yorkers," unquote. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. On March 27th, Assemblymember Chris Tague crowed about how he, quote, "authored, introduced, and passed a legislative resolution memorializing March 25th through 31st, 2023, as Farm Workers Awareness Week in the state of New York," unquote. But while Tague was honoring farm workers today, a month ago he was one of the loudest advocates for not allowing farm workers to get paid in the same way as other workers. On March 27th, his press release called Tague a, quote, "a staunch advocate for New York State agriculture," unquote. On February 22nd, a Tague press release said, quote, "I am deeply disappointed that Commissioner Reardon did not listen to common sense or, most importantly, the farmers and farm workers impacted and reject this downstate-driven policy that has no place in our farms," unquote. Tague was commenting on the state 10 years from now getting farm workers overtime pay in the same way as everyone else. Currently, farm workers have to work 60 hours to get overtime pay, while all other workers get overtime after 40 hours. The New York State Department of Labor is easing in the change gradually, so it will be another decade before New York farm workers get overtime pay the same way that everyone else does. Tague, a Republican, represents Greene and Schoharie counties in the Assembly, and lobbied heavily against the overtime rule change. This has been the WGXC Daily News. Go to the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about any of these stories.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, March 28th. Local early morning temperatures range from 30 degrees in Tannersville to 37 in Red Hook. Regional average soil temperature is 38 degrees. Now, that covers a kind of wide area. Up in the mountains, the ground is around 34 degrees, but down by the river, we're seeing ground temperatures of 42 and 43. You might notice those numbers tend to correspond with the river's vernal warming, which today will be at 41 degrees, and tide strength will be low. Sorry to jumble up the order of everything today, but it's spring, things are crazy, and also because it's spring, we're going to take a second to recognize the people out there that aren't exactly welcoming its warm embrace. That would be the allergy sufferers. Sorry, here we go again. Today will be low, but tomorrow and Thursday, maple, juniper, and elm pollen is expected to be flying around at medium levels. But if you want to be on the positive side, we have entered planting season, and things like basil, bell peppers, cabbage, celery, kale, even tomatoes can be sown based on a last frost date in mid-May. It might actually be sooner than that, but, you know, we're just taking it safe. It is still way too early for seedlings. Okay, on to the weather that everybody already knows about because you all have apps in your pocket. Today, the scattered rain and maybe a little snow all should end by 11 a.m. Skies slowly and steadily open up with conditions that are expected to be cold. So wrap up if going out and don't forget the sunglasses. A high of 50 happens at 4 p.m. Overnight, we dip to, 29 degrees. We break freezing by 8 a.m. tomorrow, then heat steadily to 54 degrees at 3 p.m. Overnight, a little light rain, maybe some snow as we drop to a crunchy 26 degrees. Then we pop back up to 40 for the afternoon on Thursday, and Friday we hit 48, but it gets windy and rainy. Sunset today will be at 7:01 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:41 a.m. Looking way up, we see the sun is quietly in what I'll call standard mode. It's got some sunspots and mild flare activity is expected, but nothing that will affect any of us. So when I'm not talking about it, this is how it usually will be. Just 1% chance of X-class flares today, and incoming light solar wind is expected this weekend. Solar wind speed is currently 303 kilometers per second at a scant 0.43 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 15 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board with good conditions below 8 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2.3, quiet. The current sunspot number is 128. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Wow, what a graduation.
I'll say.
But with college behind us, we'll need careers, and good ones.
What about chestnut roasting? People always need chestnuts.
Or begging. I know a place that'll saw your legs off.
Slow down, fellas. I've got a way we can keep our legs and still have a bright future.
Now you're dreaming.
Oh, am I?
Of course! Nuclear power!
It's the job of tomorrow. Today!
Really?
Well, that settles it. For all those reasons and more, let us choose an electrifying career in nuclear power.
Thank you. Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
We are certainly working full-time with them to try and determine what the motive is. And, of course, motive is what determines whether it's a hate crime or not.
At a Senate Appropriations Subcommittee hearing Tuesday, Attorney General Merrick Garland called the deadly shooting at a Christian school in Nashville horrific and said the FBI and the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives are working alongside local police to aid in the investigation. When asked by Louisiana Senator John Kennedy if federal officials would open a hate crime investigation, Garland said it was too early to say. Garland was on the Hill Tuesday to testify about President Biden's 2024 budget request. Following the shooting, which left three children and three staff members dead, Senate Republican Whip John Thune said it's still too early to consider increasing regulations on firearms in the country.
I think with respect to any discussion of legislation, it's premature. There's an ongoing investigation, and I think we need to let the facts come out.
Senate Republicans also said they're looking to address several legislative agenda items this week, including the debt limit and the country's energy plan, while criticizing the Biden administration's priorities. At an event in North Carolina to talk about jobs and the economy, President Joe Biden spoke about his administration's efforts to boost the manufacturing sector, but also used the opportunity to repeat his calls for action in Washington to ban assault weapons.
Last year, we came together to pass the most significant gun safety legislation in 30 years. It was bipartisan. You got it done. And don't tell me we can't do more together. So I again call on Congress to pass the assault weapons ban. Pass it. It should not be a partisan issue.
Federal Reserve Vice Chair for Supervision Michael Barr said Silicon Valley Bank failed because it was not well managed and didn't appropriately address various financial risks.
That interest rate risk and liquidity risk was highlighted by the supervisors of the firm beginning in November of 2021.
Barr noted the Federal Reserve Bank did bring the concerns forward to Silicon Valley Bank, but the bank failed to address them in a timely way. Finally, Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack spoke before the House Agriculture Committee about new opportunities for farmers being considered in the new farm bill.
So this is, a significant and pivotal and transformational moment for this committee, and we look forward to working with you.
Vilsack was pressured by some on the committee on the topic of the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. Republican Representative Austin Scott of Georgia said he'd like to see funds allocated to SNAP be used differently. I'm Alex Gonzalez for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our ATRUST indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Our series this week on dark money showed how operatives use nonprofit organizations and limited liability corporations to funnel anonymous cash into our elections. We all know it's bad, but what's being done about it? In November, Arizona voters passed the Voters' Right to Know Act by a 72% vote. It requires groups or corporations spending money over a certain threshold in local or statewide elections to disclose donors over $5,000. As we've reported, Americans for Prosperity is challenging it in federal court and other groups in state court. In 2019, New York enacted a bill which requires members, shareholders of LLCs making political donations to disclose their names and apply that amount to an individual's campaign donation limits. But until 2023, it had not been enforced, and as we reported, those rules may have been ignored in the 2022 governor's race. 22 states have banned any corporate contributions directly to a candidate, but 5 states allow unlimited contributions, and most states still allow corporations to donate at the individual's limit. The Minnesota legislature is considering the Democracy for People Act, a sweeping voter access and anti-corruption package, which includes disclosure measures similar to New York and Arizona. And the reintroduction of the Federal Freedom to Vote Act is expected in the coming weeks. Exposing dark money can't come soon enough. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Next, we hear local music from Poughkeepsie's Joe McPhee. He took his saxophone into his closet during the pandemic quarantine and produced a 2021 album called Route 84 Quarantine Blues. This is the title track.
Thank you. Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
How best to increase affordable housing in New York is a major point of disagreement among state lawmakers, the government, and housing advocates as a deadline for adoption of the state budget nears. The governor has proposed steps to overcome exclusionary zoning practices in many suburban areas that have resulted in little or no affordable housing. Legislative leaders, however, have proposed more of a carrot approach with increased subsidies for such housing. Advocates gathered at the Capitol on Monday to speak about the need for more affordable housing, the end to racist exclusionary zoning, and increased tenant protections such as good cause eviction and the Housing Access Voucher Program. We hear from several state assembly members, as well as Open New York, New York State Councils of Churches, and Community Voices Heard.
My name is Dana Levenberg. I'm the assembly member from the 95th Assembly District, which represents the Lower Hudson Valley. I've been saying it for a while now, and I'm going to keep saying zoning and home rule is what got us into this mess. We need to make a significant change. The housing compact needs to be something that is realistic and actually includes affordability in it, and that's what we want to make sure that we push for in this budget. As well, we know we need to protect tenants. I know so many people, and we just talked about my colleague in the Senate, Senator Hoylman Siegel, just mentioned that 600% increase in evictions since the end of the moratorium, and we know we must turn that around, which is why good cause eviction is so important and must be a part of that good compact. So let us all work together to make sure we have a realistic and achievable housing compact that doesn't penalize communities that have already made incredible strides and have already added density, but actually makes it so that all communities can add that density and all communities can build the affordable housing and the workforce housing that we need in this state to make sure that everybody can continue to say that we are this great state of New York that we believe we are. Thank you.
My name is Sarah Hannah Shrestha, and I represent the Mid-Hudson Valley Assembly District 103rd. We know that we have to build more housing, and we also know that the housing that we build needs to be affordable, where working people can live, where there is no segregation by race, by income, by profession. And we also know that no matter how much we build, none of it will remain affordable if we don't also pass tenant protection. I live in a district where localities are desperate to build more housing, whether it's rural or towns, or cities, they are desperate to build more housing. They want guidance from the state, because we also have opposition from residents who say, yes, we need more housing, let's do it, just not here. So we cannot have people all over the state saying, just not here. All of the state needs to play a part in increasing our housing supply, but we absolutely have to make sure that none of it will matter unless we ensure that it's affordable, unless we ensure that people who already live here can afford to move into those units and can afford to pay the rent. So I'm here to tell the governor we have to do housing through this budget, but there will be no housing compact without good cause eviction, without housing access vouchers, and without tenant opportunity to purchase act. Thank you so much.
Our next speaker is Asia Thomas from Open New York.
Being here, my name is Asia Thomas. I'm the director of organizing at Open New York. Open New York is an independent grassroots organization with hundreds of members across New York State, including Long Island and Westchester. I am so thrilled to have so many organizations here fighting for more housing, fighting to tackle exclusionary zoning, and also saying that we need tenant protections now. This is what it's going to take, a coalition like this, elected officials coming together to say that we need to end this housing crisis. I grew up on Long Island, and I fought for many, many issues for over 15 years dealing with homelessness to education reform. I know the hard truth of what exclusionary zoning has done to families who are just trying to make a path forward for their children. Over 15 years ago, actually, what Lewis mentioned, I actually was part of that fight in Garden City, fighting to say that we need housing there in the most wealthiest, most segregated places in Long Island. And only thing that I came up that came to me was people calling me the N-word and telling me that they will not have housing there. And here we are, years and years and years later, and we have built zero housing there, over 30 years, in fact. And what we need to tell our communities and our people is that they matter, is that the time for them to have not only housing, but a path forward is now. We need real enforcements. We need that require fair housing. We know that just incentives don't work. We know that the truth is that these racist practices are just there to keep the status quo so that nothing can be built. We want tenant protections. We want tenant protections that not only save people from getting evicted, but also save them from gouging rents. Right now, I want to tell Governor Hochul, Majority Leader Stuart Cousins, and Speaker Hastie that the time for you to work together is now. We need real solutions. We need solutions that include a comprehensive plan that takes out exclusionary zoning in the suburbs and protect tenants now. So what do we want? We want real enforcement, and we want real measures that will allow this, allow places like Garden City not to go another 30 years without building.
My name is Peter Cook. I'm the executive director of the New York State Council of Churches. We represent 7,500 congregations all over the state of New York. We need right to counsel. You know, I talked to my friends in Buffalo. It has probably the worst eviction rate in the state. That destabilizes families and children, and it's just a travesty. And you need to be able to represent yourself in housing court. And with 50% of our New Yorkers having to spend more than 30% of their income on housing, which is disgusting, we have the Housing Access Voucher Program. We need all of those things, plus investments in public housing, social housing, and many other things. The governor, however, did include those things in her compact, but she did put forward the compact, which we absolutely need to require communities to do the right thing. You know, I was watching this development try to get built in Bethlehem just now. They managed to have a building moratorium for 3 to 4 years. And so we had a developer proposing a 72-unit affordable housing development who had to delay 2 years, even though all the money was there for them to build it, because people didn't want to ruin the character of Selkirk. Fortunately, it went through, but it was so costly and expensive, and if we had had the compact in place to require Bethlehem to move and do the right thing, it would have been a lot better. But it's not as happy a story in other places like Long Island and all over the state where we have these racist exclusionary zoning laws. So our message today as a council is we need all of it. We need restrictions. We need to ban exclusionary zoning, and we need tenant protection. Let's have a grand bargain. Let's set aside our differences. Let's get together and get a deal done.
Great. My name is Kumi Owusu. I'm 25 years old, and I'm from Community Voices Heard. Governor Hochul, Yonkers and the rest of the state are calling on you to not only end exclusionary zoning practices, which continue to pile poor people on top of each other, but also for good cause eviction, which is a step towards the new system the people want. We want stabilized rent and a great legitimate and legal reason to uproot our lives and our families if need be, instead of investing our limited funds into our health or education or employment or food when our elected officials seemingly do not. We have been left to stress about how we can maintain our basic human rights, and we have been punished by people who take more and more from us without giving us any true support or fulfilling their jobs. This is a human and healing rights justice issue.
This has been Mark Dunley for Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org. Thank you.
That was jazz guitarist Jeff Parker with the song Four Folks from his 2021 album Four Folks. Next, we hear local music from Nelson Esposito Quintana. That's Todd Nelson on guitar, Manuel Quintana on drums, and Kyle Esposito on bass. They're mostly based in Ulster County, and this is their 2021 track Threshold.
Thank you. Nobody knows. Nothing was heard. It was committed discreetly. It was handled so neatly. And it shouldn't surprise you at all. You know. So many mistakes, and what a difference it makes. But still, it shouldn't surprise you at all. You know, I said it shouldn't surprise you at all. You know, don't look now, but you have changed. Your best friends wouldn't tell you. Now it's apparent, now it's a fact. So marshal your forces for another attack. You were so young and naive.
Time.